We're going to be looking today at the concepts brought forth in Hebrews, the first chapter. I appreciate Hugh reading that earlier when we had our scripture reading. It says in verses 1 and 2, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. God has, in different eras, spoken to man, and that's not the question. Has God revealed Himself to man? Has God spoken to man? That's not the question. That's very clear. It's how He has done it in various times and in various eras. He has spoken, as we see, in various ways in times past, but in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus. God has used a lot of different methods to reveal His desires to man. And since Jesus, He has used Jesus, the words of Jesus, to reveal things to us. Today, God does not use new revelations to somebody. Well, what gets me is when you see some of these religious figures saying, oh, I got a new revelation from God. Most of the times that I've seen, it usually contradicts an earlier one. But God doesn't do that. He doesn't single a person out and talk to them specifically and reveal a new revelation. He doesn't send us text messages. He doesn't call us on the phone. I knew a sister who had the misunderstanding that she thought God spoke to her specifically through the romance novels that she read. We laugh. We get us. And Barbara, I'm right with you. When that was, I didn't contain, or you can, I contained myself a little bit better than you did. I wanted to laugh. God singles you out to tell you something different than He tells everybody else through His Word. He uses romance novels. Yeah, because He knows just how hard-headed I am, knows that I read these a lot, and that I get it in this way. I had nothing. I did not know how to respond other than Scripture. Anyway, He doesn't use text today. He doesn't call us on the phone. He doesn't send the special alert across the TV when there's an impending storm or nothing like that. He has used different things in the past. But today, He has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus. One of those ways in the past that, and it's still, we can see His message, because that has not changed. God has spoken to man through creation, through nature. We can look today at nature and know that there's God. He speaks to us every day that way. In Psalms 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork." And Romans 1, verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." They are without excuse. People can look at the creation that God has come up with and see that there is God. He's used a burning bush. I wonder if the Israelites had the same reaction that maybe I had when a sister told me that God spoke to her through her romance novels, when Moses told him, God spoke to me through a burning bush. That's a little unique, but God did it. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 2 through 4, and I think on your outline it says just 4, going back to verse 2, it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn.' So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the burning bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.'" God has used unique ways, such as a burning bush, such as a cloud. When he was leading the Israelites through the wilderness, he used a cloud. In Exodus 19:9, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever.'" This was a sign to them. They could see that God was there and know that He was there. He used dreams. God used dreams to a lot of people. And I'm not even including all of them. He used dreams with Abraham. He used dreams with Joseph numerous times, with Nebuchadnezzar, Joseph, the husband of Mary, the earthly father of Jesus, with Peter. He came to Peter 3 times in a dream. Peter was a little hard-headed. With Joseph, God used through dreams. In Matthew 1, verse 20, he prophesied about the coming of Jesus, that you're going to have a son through a dream. In 2, verse 13, he was told in a dream to flee to Egypt, that this child is in danger. You need to flee. In 2:19, he was then told to go back to Israel. And then in chapter 2, verse 22, warned to go to Galilee for safety. God has used dreams to tell His people the things that He wants from them. He has directly spoken to them by voice, directly hearing God. He spoke to Adam. In Genesis 3:9, says, "Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?'" Spoke directly to Adam. Tell you, if God spoke to me through a romance novel, that's a little unique. But if He's speaking to me directly, "Where are you?" That must have been something. To Abraham in Genesis 21, verse 2, it says, "For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time, at the set time of which God had spoken to him." Abraham had been spoken to by God, telling him of this event. He spoke with Moses in Exodus 19:19. "And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice." We see in different eras and in different ways God speaking to the people. At the baptism of Jesus in the New Testament, in Matthew 3, verse 17, after Jesus was baptized, said, "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" What an event. What an event for those witnesses. For John the Baptist. A reinforcement for Jesus himself that God my Father, I am pleasing to him. At the transfiguration, God spoke. In Matthew 17:5, while he was still speaking, talking of Peter, "Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.'" Not just a proclamation, "This is my Son," but a command, "Hear him. You listen to what he has to say, because he is my Son." He's given us the written word. He has spoken to us through the written word. We have the Bible today. It's not a new concept. God has given us the written word. In Exodus 34, starting verse 27, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel.'" So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. God has given us his words in written form. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, a verse, a passage we use quite often, that I use quite often in our lessons. Very powerful passage. Paul is writing to Timothy and he reminds him, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration literally means God breathed. It is given from God. It's that same, just like in Genesis, when God spoke the world into existence. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. This is that, is what takes place. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Everything that we need to do, God has informed us beforehand. John 20, verses 30 and 31, this kind of the home base verse that we're using in our Wednesday night study of the book of John. We're studying the book of John, and we started out the study by looking at this verse, or this passage. It says, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. Amen. That is the whole crux of the Gospel of John. That Jesus did a lot of things that if you tried to write them all down, you couldn't. You'd run out of paper, you'd run out of ink. But these are recorded, why? To lead you to belief. And that, having belief, you will have life in His name. That's the importance of the written word. And the last that I'd like to look at is God has used His Son, Jesus, to speak to us. In various times, He used various ways. But He also used Jesus. The second verse in Hebrews that we looked at, it says, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He made the worlds. He's used various ways in various times, but in these last days, He's used His Son Jesus. He has the credibility because He is heir of all. He's not one of the also's. He's not one of the, oh, and by the way, in these last days, He's used His Son. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Jesus has the credibility to be that Word. A few verses later in the first chapter of John, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us as we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Jesus Himself said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's conditional. People say, oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus says, if you love me, keep the commandments that I give you. John 12:48, the reason why we should keep them, they are the ones that are going to judge us in the end. The words of Jesus is going to be what we are judged by. Jesus says, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. We are going to be judged by His words, whether we are obedient or not. God has never demanded anything from man, anything that He hadn't previously revealed. He did not require anything from Noah in building the ark that He didn't tell him about. He didn't require anything from Adam that He didn't tell him about. He didn't require anything from Abraham that He didn't tell him about. In various times, He used various ways. But in these last days, He has used His Son to reveal His words to us. The plan of salvation is simple. This is something that you should, by now, be very familiar with. Jesus has said we have to believe. Jesus said we need to confess our belief. That if we don't confess our belief, He won't confess us to the Father. Jesus has said we need to repent of sins. A lot of other people have said it too. Peter, Paul, John, they say we have to, but Jesus has said it. Here is out of order, I just noticed. Excuse me. That's the first one. We have to be baptized. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And Jesus said that we have to remain faithful. Baptism is not the end, that's the beginning of our walk with him. And we have to remain faithful until death. We're going to be judged by the words of Jesus. God has used various ways. Today, he uses his son. He doesn't use romance novels. He doesn't use the little thing along the bottom of the TV screen to talk to us. He doesn't text us. He doesn't come to us on an email or nothing like that. He uses his son and his word. And that's what we're going to be judged by. If you have not obeyed the commands of Jesus, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you have not done the things that Jesus wants and demands, you need to do so. If you need the prayers of the congregation, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you would like to study more with one of us, we are here for you. Whatever your need, if you would come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation song, we will address those needs. Let us stand and sing.